SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Radio Network. Green Edison! Pro football full circle.
Circling. Oh, look out! Gronkowski didn't have the angle! Touchdown! Oh, Kenyon Drake! A miracle!
Murray heaves it downfield. It is. It is caught! DeAndre Hopkins! Miraculous!
Fires, Mike Sims.
Oh, week number 15 is officially underway. Welcome to Pro Football Full Circle right here on the Sports Grid Radio Network. Sirius Channel 159, Joe Lisi and George Kurtz getting you prepared for the NFL action this coming Saturday and Sunday. A lot of news and notes to get to. Josh Allen, the Buffalo Bills quarterback, will make the start against Carolina this weekend. Buffalo is a 10.5-point favorite in that ballgame. Washington, their starting quarterback, Taylor Heinicke, he's been placed on the COVID list. This line has ballooned against the Philadelphia Eagles. Washington now a 12.5-point underdog. It looks like it'll be Nick Mullins and Garrett Gilbert that potentially can start that ball game. But let's turn our attention, George, to that battle in LA, Kansas City and the L.A. Chargers, Justin Herbert, Pat Mahomes. It was a battle right down to the end. L.A. did have a 28-21 fourth quarter lead. Kansas City ties it up and then gets the victory in overtime, 34-28. The win and, more importantly, the cover with Mahomes hitting Kelsey on about a 38-yard touchdown pass. Mahomes, 4-10 through the air, three touchdowns, one interception. Kelsey, a huge night, 10 receptions, 191 in. And two, but the play calling by Staley, the head coach for the LA Chargers, I mean, somebody's got to scratch their head and say, hey, man, take the 3 points.
Yeah, I don't know if I have a problem with what he did. They're an aggressive team, all right? I think my problem is this. You know, you were 1-3, 1-4. At some point, you got to realize it's not working. It's just not happening that night, and then you have to take the points here. I thought the one at the end of the half was even more questionable to me, Joe, because part of the reason why you go for it, you know, when you're inside the 5-yard line is because, okay, you know, we don't get it. We pin the offense deep. We pin the opposition deep, right? Well, it was 3 seconds left. There was no pinning deep. Less play of the half here. Take the 3 points. You know, and also, you know, take some momentum going in. Take the points rather than you go for it, you don't get it, you get nothing, which is what ended up happening here. So, as I said, if you think everyone, each one as a whole, I don't have an issue. It's but when you stack it up against each other and it's not working, it didn't pay off. And even the one time they got it, that's the drive that ended up with a turnover later on anyway. Even that didn't pay off for them. So they left a lot of points on the field yesterday. I'm not saying they would have won the game. Who knows how it turns out if they kick those field goals. Kansas City did it a time or two as well. So, you know, but I just thought as far as reading the game, you have to realize it's not working. For some reason, they're playing better on a fourth down than they are on the first three downs here. Maybe we should kick it. And we also have to realize this before we start throwing Staley under the bus. A couple of those plays should have worked. They were drop passes, right? I mean, Williams dropped a touchdown the first drive. I don't know if I want to say Jared Cook dropped that one. It wasn't the greatest pass, but should have been converted. It wasn't because they went for it on fourth down. It was the conversion is why they didn't score there. So I think we have to remember that, too. The execution wasn't the greatest.
No, great point, George. I mean, when you look at that matchup entering that ballgame, Kansas City was on a 6-game win streak, 9-4 overall, and the L.A. Chargers 8-5, right? They did win earlier in the year in Arrowhead. I think you have to look at it in terms of we always talk about the series history, right? And even though L.A. got the victory on the road in Kansas City, they had lost, what was it, 8 straight games to the Kansas City Chiefs at home. So you have to take into account that factor as well. When you have a losing streak like that and you're fighting for a division title, you take the points. I mean, at the end of the day, I'm as aggressive as anybody. I believe you always go for the two if given the opportunity. But when you have a hot team like Pat Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs and that defense has stepped up and you have an opportunity to get more points to give your team momentum, especially in the second half, you take that and you seize that opportunity. So that's the problem I have with obviously Staley and his play calls. And the other factor that I have is, what was with that LA Charger defense? Three players around Travis Kelce. Can somebody get a hand on the guy? I mean, it was basically a 12-yard hitch. He turns it into a 38-yard touchdown reception. The tackling last night was absolutely pathetic for the LA Chargers.
The best part about that touchdown reception was your rant on Twitter afterwards. It was fantastic. You're complaining about, I mean, you're 100% right, but it was just great to see it. And right, I'm just laughing as I'm reading this. You're so annoyed by it. That's a joke. There's one tough still picture. And I know a still picture doesn't tell you anything, but Kelsey's got the ball with three charges in front of him. How does Kelce outrun everybody? Yeah, we're not talking Tyreek Hill here. Okay, he makes one move and he's gone. We're talking Travis Kelce, who, by the way, some of us had thought was maybe reached the end of his career here because he wasn't doing anything. Maybe there was an injury to be concerned about, which is where I was, what I thought might be going on here. And what a game. What a game yesterday. And that probably should have been an even bigger game. Could have easily had four touchdowns in this contest. So, wow, if he's a threat again, oh boy, this won't be fun for teams in the AFC. So, like I said, yeah, you're 100% right about that. It's bad in the NFL. You know what I contribute to that, too, Joe? Lack of practice. They don't practice it anymore.
That's what it is. And this comes after Travis Kelce called George Kittle the best tight end in the game. When George and I come back, we'll break down all the Saturday and Sunday action. Keep it where it is.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Pro Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and George Kurtz.
In Cleveland on Saturday, it takes place. Cleveland did open up as a 5.5-point favorite. Now, with the virus issues and the COVID situation of Baker Mayfield, head coach Kevin Stefanski, and a number of other players right now, Cleveland is a 3.5-point underdog, minus 110 on FanDuel. The Raiders right now are minus 110 as well on the road. Back-to-back road games for Derek Carr and the crew. They got blown out by Kansas City last week as a 9.5-point underdog against the Chiefs. Total now inching ever closely to that key 37-35 point number. It's 38 on FanDuel, minus 110 either way. I originally liked Cleveland before all the problems. I'm going to take a shot with Las Vegas here on the road, -3.5, and I'm going to lean to the over. I know it screams under because Cleveland will want to run the football, but I'm going to buck that and go over the 38 in this matchup, George.
21 players for Cleveland are in COVID right now. Just counting here. This doesn't even count for Kareem Hunt. He's out with injury. Anthony Schwartz, injury. They won't play. So I'm with you. I got to go to the Raiders here. I don't think I can go anything else here. I'm definitely going to the Raiders here. I know they didn't show up versus Kansas City last week, which is kind of interesting for a game that was important to the team. But I think they take care of business. Nick Mullins is going to be your starting quarterback here for Cleveland. Yay. Listen, I guess it's somebody. But there's just not much going on here. Cleveland will definitely try and run the ball. All right, Nick Chubb may be that old-time running back, Joe, when you and I were growing up, where Cal touched the ball 30-plus times. This is an important game for Cleveland, and they need to win this contest here. I mean, it's a big game. I expect Nick Chubb carried the ball a lot. Dernis Johnson's there as well. Njoku may have a big game at tight end, as, once again, Hooper's out with COVID. It's only Peoples-Jones or Rashard Higgins here. Ugly here. Ugly. And I'm going to go the over as well. I think they'll get over to 38. I'm just taking it more on principle. It's just too low. Raiders should be able to score a normal amount of points here. They're not really affected by COVID. So give me the Raiders and the over as well.
You might want to take a look at Nick Chubb's rushing total. They don't have it up on FanDuel. He's been in the area in back-to-back weeks, 81 and 70. I was on it last week. Did not even come close. He had 59 yards, but only basically 25 carries over the last couple of weeks. Maybe he does carry this ball 25, 30 times like George suggests. So keep an eye out as the week progresses. Let's turn our attention to Carson Wentz, Jonathan Taylor. They're 2.5-point home favorites against a red-hot Mac Jones and the New England Patriots. Patriots coming off a bye. Plus 2.5, minus 110 either way. Total set at 45.5. Juice to the over at minus 115. I said it before. I've been bucking this trend for the last 6 or 7 weeks, getting hit over the head with a hammer. I'm going to take the Patriots. I'm not just taking them with the 2.5. I'm going to take them with the 118 on the money line. And I do feel there are a lot of points here. Traditionally, when the Patriots and Colts match up, even though it was Brady and Manning, they tended to go over. I'm going over here. So give me Pats plus the 2.5 over the 45 and a hook, Georgie boy.
Looking forward to this game tomorrow. Definitely looking forward to the night game tomorrow. I think it's an excellent contest here. Patriots still draw, once again, ahead in the AFC East right now. They're the number one seed in the AFC, so they need to keep on winning, especially at the KC one on Thursday. So, it's all about the Colts to me. All right, they're coming off the bye week. We know Jonathan Taylor is great in the running for Offensive Player of the Year. Scores 2 touchdowns a game, seems like. And we know Bill's going to try and stop him. And I don't think he'll stop him, but he'll slow him down. So it's going to come down to Carson Wentz for me, a play that you and I have pretty much been rallying against for most of the season. Right? Can he win the game? Because I think he's going to have to win the game, Joe. I think that's how Indianapolis is going to be able to win it if Carson plays well. Doesn't need to play lights out, mind you, but needs to play well. Yeah, and the New England defense is good. It's not fantastic, but it's good. Pittman needs to come up big here. Maybe a tight end, Jack Doyle, needs to do some damage here. I'm going to go Indianapolis, coming off the bye. New England's coming off the bye as well, at home. I think if it was in New England, I would go New England. But give me Indianapolis at home, but I'm just going with it. I'm probably not betting my own money on this. I think it's a game I'm just going to watch. There'll be some prop opportunities. When these props come out, by the way, not a lot of props are out yet. It's a little bit annoying here. I think FanDuel is waiting on COVID problems as well here before they determine these props. But give me Indianapolis. I don't really have a strong feel on the over-under one way or the other here, but I do like the Colts, but I'm not betting my own money.
All right, we'll see. I like the over in that matchup, and the one thing I do like about New England is just from a mentality aspect, they have the type of mental resolve to win on the road. When you compound the rock between the tackles with either Damian Harris or Ramondre Stevenson and the physical offensive line, you could sustain drives just the way they did against a very solid Buffalo defense. Carson Wentz, I think, is good for at least 2 turnovers in that ballgame, so we'll see how it plays out a little bit later. That is the late game on Saturday. Turn our attention to the Eagle game. We discussed it in the intro that this line is ballooned up to Philadelphia now. Minus 12.5 against Washington. Taylor Heineke put on the COVID list. 21 players as well. You mentioned 39.5 is the total at minus 110 either way. If I like Washington, no matter who starts a quarterback, at basically 6.5, 8.5, I absolutely love it at 12.5, and I'm not backing down. I think Washington, no matter what, will be in this ballgame and will be well within this number. I now believe that the game plan will be sustained drives. I lean to the under here, but I'm not sold on the Philadelphia defense. Give me Washington plus the 12.5 under in this matchup, George.
Gonna need to give you a second. I'm still counting Washington players that are on the COVID list here. This is ridiculous. All right, it's well over 20. I think it's 25, 26. I know they did get back to their third string center today. Yay! Come on, Gary Gilbert's going to quarterback. He quarterback for the Cowboys last year, a couple of games there. Not very good. Remember, he wasn't even on the team. I think he was on the Buffalo Bills practice squad. He doesn't know the offense. He's going to have 48 hours to figure it out? Are you kidding me? NFL, this game has to be postponed as long as you can. I understand you can't move it to another week because the bye weeks are over. You can't redo the schedules here. But why not make this a Tuesday game or something like that? This is too much of an important game to be doing this, where Washington, who's in a playoff spot right now, right? They're in that, I think it's the seventh spot, and now they're going to show up shorthanded like this. Maybe they can cover, as you're suggesting, but they're not winning the game. And you're giving Philadelphia a game here. You're just giving Philadelphia a game here. And they'll be in a playoff spot. It'll be a tiebreaker situation, but they'll be in a playoff spot with a win here. It's just not right. It's just not, all right? I hate this, truly hate this. And by the way, if I would be on Philadelphia in this game, I think this game's a wipeout.
I tell you what, Garrett Gilbert did not play bad in the preseason. I thought he actually outdueled Cooper Rush to get the backup role for Dallas. I got to be honest with you. I think, you know, as long as he's in there and they have some playmakers, I know McLaurin's banged up. We said Humphreys is in the lineup. Antonio Gibson looks like he's a go. That's enough for me. I'm good to go with Washington. Again, turnovers will be critical, but I think the more physical defense, even with backups, with Ron Rivera, is Washington. I'm not sold on the Eagles as a whole. I think they've overachieved, and we're looking at them as this elite team when they're not, and we're still not sold on whether Hurts gets the start in this ballgame, and if he's 100% healthy to go. So give me Washington plus the 12.5, but the total right now at 39 and a hook leads me to believe under, just because it hasn't gotten, I don't know, like that 40, 39 and a half area. They suck you in, and then we're looking at maybe almost like a 17-13 type of ball game, just the way it was last year. You remember in Jalen Hurts' loss to the Washington football team where they actually pulled him from Nate Sudfeld.
Oh, the tank game. Hurts is likely to play, but again, he's not taking all the snaps in practice, but he's likely to play, but he won't be his normal self. I don't think there's any doubt about that. Whether that means he doesn't run as much or whatever, and will he need to run? Who knows? So, but he definitely won't be his normal self, which does give some concern here, because let's face it, throwing the football is not something he's great at yet. He's not terrible, but he's not great at yet. He's still learning to blow up play quarterback. Running is what gives him that distinct advantage here, and if that's curtailed, it does make things interesting, once again, assuming Hurts is the starter.
Yeah, when we come back, we'll battle down and break down that game in Buffalo. Josh Allen and the Bills, 11.5-point favorites, coming up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Pro Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and George Kurtz.
Continuing the breakdowns of week number 15, we left off in the battle of the NFC East between Philadelphia and Washington. Going to turn our attention to an interconference battle. Carolina and Cam Newton on the road as 11.5-point underdogs against Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills. Second half, not enough against Tom Brady. They trailed 24-3 at the half, made it a game, tied it up in regulation to lose to Breshad Perriman, his fourth reception of the year. Big one, 58-yard touchdown to give the Bucs the win and cover over the Bills last week. Now they come back home, cold weather. No Joe Brady now for the second game. Carolina struggled last week against Atlanta. I think they bounce back here, George. They're not going to win, but I do feel they cover this number. So give me Carolina. I believe there's a lot of points here because if you're Buffalo, you want to take off where you left off in terms of the second half, right? You don't want to start slow in back-to-back weeks. Give me Carolina and the over in this ballgame.
Yeah, it will be cold. 25 degrees there is the high in Buffalo on Sunday. So, better them than me. So, we'll see there. It's hard to like the Panthers because they're just not a very good football team. They don't have a quarterback. Are they going to play the, we're gonna have two quarterbacks in the game again? You know, Cam was in at times and P.J. Walker was in at times. It's hard to really like this team. I think Buffalo has to establish some kind of running game here, for crying out loud. I think that's what they're going to try to do here since they couldn't run against New England, didn't even try to run against Tampa Bay outside of Josh Allen here. I am probably with you that I think Carolina could cover the game. Once again, it's another game. I don't see myself betting on – I can't do it. I can't bet on the Panthers. I can bet on the Bills, but I can't bet on the Panthers. It's another prop opportunity for me, and I certainly believe the Buffalo Bills win the game. So it might be some parlay opportunities here. It's minus 620. Yikes. So that screams there maybe a three-team parlay for me to get that number way down here. I said I probably do lean towards Carolina plus 11.5, just like the points there, but I don't love it.
All right, big battle in South Beach. Miami has the opportunity to become 500. Would you have believed it when they started the season 1-7, lost two very close games to Atlanta and Jacksonville by three last-second field goals? They beat the Jets by seven, laying about 4 points in that battle in MetLife. Now they're home. You said that Jalen Waddle's on the COVID list, but doesn't look like anybody cares. This line opened up at 8.5. Money coming in on Miami now, up to 9.5 on FanDuel. -110 either way. Total set at 41. Ooh, this is tough because, you know, I don't believe Zach Wilson wins this ball game. It probably throws about one or two interceptions, but I do feel conference game, divisional game, they're going to be up for this. Again, I think this is a situation. Miami wins, but I'm going to take my chances with the Jets. I'm a Dolphin fan, so if they win, that's good enough for me. But I'm going to take the points with the Jets here and, again, lean to the under in this ballgame.
I'm with you here. I'm with you here on both. Now, good news for the running backs all around here. Carter is going to come back from the Jets, and the Dolphins got their running backs today. Gaskin and Ahmed both taken off the COVID list there. So both teams will be full strength as far as that's concerned. For the Jets, it'll come down to, we know Miami's coming after Wilson. This is what they do. They're blitzing from everywhere. Can he handle it? Can he handle it? I don't think Miami's going to score 1,000 points on the Jets, but the game will be somewhat close. You have to get Jets can cover. I think Dolphins certainly win the game here. So once again, you want to parlay it with Buffalo? Go right ahead. It's something that I'll be looking into. -420 for the Dolphins. You got to get that number down. Over under 41, I'm probably leaning more towards the over here as far as that's concerned. I said, so give me the Jets to cover and the over. Miami Dolphins win the game, though. Good parlay opportunity.
I feel if there's one team I've had a great pulse on, George, it's been your Dallas Cowboys. I mean, I loved them last week against the Washington football team. The line opened up at 4.5. It was one of the best bets of last week's picks. Now they're on the road. They're laying 10.5, divisional game. We know that the Giants typically get up for these type of ball games. They got absolutely abused in back-to-back weeks now. Didn't cover against L.A. and the Miami Dolphins. Now they're back home catching 10.5. Mike Lennon gets the start. The total is 44.5. Juice to the under at -114. I'm going to lay it with Dak Prescott. I don't care that this is a divisional game and that the Giants' defense has stepped up and forced better offenses to work down the field. I think this is a game where they get stretched early and often. I look for C.D. Lamb to step up. Look for the running game, whether Pollard plays or not, it doesn't matter. Dak Prescott might even get a touchdown. Dallas abuses New York in MetLife. I'm laying the 10.5, and I'm going over the total.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you on both here as well, although I can certainly see what happened last week where Dak is just not on his game again, allows the Giants back in. I think what that defense of Gregory, Lawrence, and Parsons, they're going to terrorize Glennon. All right, they're coming after him. They're feeling it. I think there'll be mistakes made by Glennon. He'll throw some picks, a pick six or a fumble return. If I could bet on it, which I think you can, I can bet on the Dallas Cowboy defense to score. I think it's coming again. Dallas' team has been very good about that. They've had at least two games in a row where they've gotten it. I think they'll make it three here. And I think they control the game. I think the Giants in some ways just looking to get the hell out of this season. They're all banged up again. Even Barkley he might practice today, but he's practicing with the ankle. Galladay's banged up. We know Tony's not likely to play. Dallas got some good news. Cedric Wilson, who is their only player on the COVID list, had his two negative tests. He's practicing today. He'll play as well. Not a big name, but gives them more depth there. So I like the Cowboys in the over as well.
All right, big battle in Heinz Field. You got the Steelers fresh off that loss on Thursday night last week to the Minnesota Vikings, now catching 1 point as a home dog against Ryan Tannehill in Tennessee. They got right over Jacksonville, 20-0, shut down Trevor Lawrence and the crew. Money coming in now on the over a little bit here. It's 42.5, -115 to the over. I thought Pittsburgh might have found something in the second half against the Minnesota defense. I think they go hurry up the rest of the season. I don't love Big Ben, but at home, in this type of spot, I'm going to take the gimme point and lay 108 on the money line. I like them to knock off the Tennessee Titans in this ballgame.
I'm with you. I am with you.
Are you really?
I am. maybe not from the logic that you used there. I certainly like what Pittsburgh did in the second half against Minnesota, but we saw that the second half against the Chargers, too. It didn't carry over. So who knows? They really are a who-knows team. Maybe it carries over, maybe it doesn't. I wish I had more faith that it does, and I'd like this even more. It's more because I don't like what I'm seeing from Tennessee. I think they're stagnated right now. You know, with all the injuries, at one point you could make an argument they were the best team in the AFC. I think they're trying to find it again. And they're always trying to, you know, let's get to the playoffs already. Let's get to the playoffs already. We'll get A.J. Brown back. We might get Derrick Henry back at some point. Let's get there. And I think they're sort of a dying team as going on here. And I think that South is going to be very interesting. I don't think that division's over yet at all. Right now they have a two-game lead over Indianapolis. If Indianapolis can win on against New England, Tennessee loses, gets a little closer there. Maybe they can make a division out of it after all. I know Tennessee's beat Indianapolis twice, so they technically still have a three-game lead here. But give me Pittsburgh. It is a must-win. I think Pittsburgh gets a little jolt of good news here, too, because you know the Ravens are they're another dying team. Cleveland, COVID hell. So it might just come down to them and Cincinnati to win this division. Give me the Steelers.
All right. We'll see if they can pull it out. I don't know about win the division, but we'll see how that game plays out. It is a 1 o'clock kick. Jacksonville cut the fat. They got rid of Urban Meyer. He's gone. He's down. He went down like a dart. 13 games, 2-11 overall. Trevor Lawrence has come out today and said, that's what we needed, direction. Oh, yeah, Trevor? You haven't thrown a touchdown pass basically in 5-6 weeks. You want to step up maybe? I mean, he did throw for over 200 yards in last week's performance. Remember week one? They lost this ball game. They were favorites in this matchup, right? On the road against Houston, they failed to step up. That offense for Houston stretched that defense vertically. They allowed over 30 points. They did put up 21 points in garbage time. Now this line opened up. Jacksonville is a 3-point favorite. They bet it up to 5, 5.5. Now money coming in on Houston. I like Houston here. It's settled in at 4.5, minus 110 either way on FanDuel. Total is 39.5. Give me Houston outright. I'm not sold on this team. Jacksonville, they're dead to me. Houston plus the 4.5, plus the 180, and I'll go over the 39.5, George.
So no Christmas card from Joe Lisi to Jacksonville. Sad. Just sad. I'm going to go the opposite with you, man. I'm going to go with the new head coach bump here. They got rid of Urban Meyer. They're going to play well this week. They'll throw it in his face here. So I'm not saying they'll win the game, but it's at home. They're going to give you 4.5 points. You got the change here. Maybe the team is relaxed and it'll play better here. Give me the Jacksonville Jaguars. Once again, I'm not betting my own money on this, but if I was, I'd probably I don't like betting two bad teams. These are two bad teams in some ways. Maybe neither one of them wants to win. They want the lower draft pick here. But give me the Jaguars. We'll say Ravel gets his first win here. Give me Jacksonville -4.5. I'm just going for the new coach bump. That's all I'm going for, a new coach bump.
All right, if you think that they're playing loose, then maybe the over is the play, right? Because if you're going to say 39.5, I mean loose, I mean we're not asking for a whole lot, are we? I mean basically 20-20. I mean 2017, you're on pace, right? Could we get 20 points from one of these teams? I mean, do we believe in the quarterback play of Trevor Lawrence now, or is he just making excuses because he's played like crap? I mean, that's the biggest thing now. I mean, you know, it's one thing to say it. It's another thing to back it up with your performance. So unless he throws for, let's say, 280 in this ball game, guess what, Trevor? Get back into the film room and break down some coverage because you haven't stepped up in your first year.
I'm with you. I think they can both get the 20, hence I like the over here. Trevor Lawrence, the one that worries me more than Mills, which I can't believe I'm saying.
Yeah, when we come back, we'll talk about the battle in Detroit. Kyler Murray and Arizona on the road to face the Lions. Joe Lisi and George Kurtz right here on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We're listening to Pro Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and George Kurtz.
Ripping through the action on Sunday, we left off talking about Jacksonville and Houston, that garbage game between two of the worst teams in the league. We're going to turn our attention to Arizona. Tough loss Monday night against the LA Rams. They were in position to potentially tie that ball game up. Kyler Murray stepped up. I want to say a mediocre performance, not vintage Kyler in that ball game. Now he has an opportunity to open it up against one of the worst teams in the NFL, the Detroit Lions. This line opened up at Arizona, basically an 11-point favorite. It's up to 12.5 right now on FanDuel, minus 110 either way. Total is 47.5, George. Juice to the under at minus 114. Detroit got blown out by Denver and Teddy Bridgewater. I don't see things changing in the Dome. Give me Arizona laying the 12.5, but no Hopkins. I don't care. I still think Arizona tacks it on. Give me the over 47 and a hook.
They're 7-0 on the road. They're a better road team than they are a home team as far as the Cardinals are concerned. Weird, but that's what the numbers tell us. So I'm with you here. I don't know if it'd be a large bet for me, but I'm with you on the Cardinals. They'll probably be part of that parlay I'm talking about, and I'll have a couple of them going. I don't really like three-team parlays. I prefer two, unless I'm really trying to get the odds way down. So I do like them. I wonder how they'll adjust without Hopkins, but they haven't had Hopkins for, a month and a half? He's been iffy, playing a little bit here, a little bit there. Detroit, now they had problems last week of their own. It was part COVID, part flu that they were going through here. Guys were throwing up on the field. That was always attractive. They'll be, I would assume, healthier this game, but DeAndre Swift seems unlikely. Hawkinson's out. There's just not much to like here with Detroit. I thought, though, they played hard for Campbell this season. We've made a lot of fun of Detroit and a lot of fun of Campbell, but the team has played hard for him. But I do wonder if it's just, it's done. Season, it's just done. They have nothing left to give here. Give me the Cardinals.
Yeah, here's a game I actually do like. It's Atlanta on the road to face San Francisco. San Francisco laying 9.5, minus 110 either way. Total flat, minus 110 at under and over 46. You know, Atlanta did, they're 6-7, got the victory over a gutty Carolina team, 29-21. I'm going to take the 9.5 here. They might not win, but I think the Falcons are in striking distance. I like them to potentially make this a four-quarter game. Also like the over, George, 46. This is one of my better bets this coming weekend. The over, I like the over more than I like Atlanta, but I'm taking the underdog in this matchup.
I'm with you as well. Once again, this is an important game. I mean, it sounds silly, I know, but the Falcons still have a shot. I mean, it's a small chance, but they still have a shot. They're 6-7. They're one of those teams that are actually just a game out. Along with, Minnesota, Philadelphia, Atlanta, New Orleans, all tied at 6-7. If the Washington football team does lose this weekend, which I certainly expect them to do, if you get the 7 wins, you'll be in a playoff spot. It'll be tiebreakers to knock out a couple of teams. All right, and if Philadelphia beats Washington, they'll have 7 wins. We expect Minnesota to beat Chicago Monday night, they'd have 7 wins. Atlanta could have 7 wins. And if you beat San Fran, well, you knock them down a peg because they would only have 7 wins, so you'd have a chance for one of the final 2 spots. This is a massively important game. I don't care what you think about the Falcons or how bad a team they might be. This is still an important football game. I don't think they win. I think San Fran does win, but give me the 9.5. I'm with you.
Yeah, and now San Fran knocked off the Cincinnati Bengals in overtime, 26-23. Did cover as basically a 2.5-point road favorite in that matchup. When you look at Cincinnati, they're catching now 2.5 on the road to face Denver and Vic Fangio. You know how I feel about good old Vic. I think he absolutely sucks. Total is set at 44, minus 110 either way. Better team and better quarterback is Joe Burrow in Cincinnati, even though Zach Taylor inconsistent, and I was on him at the start of the year. I thought he'd be out, but he actually has this team trending in the right direction. Broadway Joe Burrow in a big spot. I'm going to take my chances anytime. I'm going to take the Bengals plus the 2.5. I think they bounce back, but I also like them plus 130 on the money line here. And you know what? This game, because Denver, it matters to both teams, Vic is going to look to run the football and shorten this game. So I lean to the under, but I do like Cincinnati to pull it out.
We can scratch somebody else off Joe Lisi's Christmas card list. Once again, I'm with you here. Another massively important game, especially with the Chargers losing last night. They're 8-6, Indianapolis 7-6, Buffalo 7-6, Cleveland 7-6, Cincinnati 7-6, Denver 7-6. The winner of this game puts himself in a pretty damn good spot for a playoff spot. Cincinnati would have a shot at the division as well here. Denver doesn't have that opportunity. I read the game the same way you do. I think Zach Taylor cost his team the game last week. He went conservative in the beginning. The way to beat San Fran was throwing the football. He went conservative in the beginning of the game, put themselves behind the eight ball. They came back throwing the ball. Then when they had a chance to win, he goes conservative again. Just, like, once again, silly and stupid in my mind. I think he'll try and rectify that here, although Denver has a much better secondary than San Fran. I think this is a close game, but the Cincinnati Bengals do find a way to win here. And I read the same thing about Fangio. He's going to try and shorten it. I think he may cost his team some points there by not putting the ball in the air enough. Give me the Bengals. I think they get to 8 wins.
All right, Green Bay got the winning cover over Chicago on Sunday night. This line opened up at 3.5, I guess, because of the status of Lamar Jackson. He was carted off the field in the loss to Cleveland last week. Tyler Huntley stepped up. The kid from Utah is playing lights out. Did get the win against Chicago. Got the cover, and that's all that matters last week. They got the cover as 2.5-point road dogs. Now they face Green Bay. This line is ballooned in favor of Aaron Rodgers and Matt LaFleur. They're laying 6.5, minus 110. Total is 43 and a hook. I'm taking Baltimore. You know what? They may actually, I'll just say this. They might be a more consistent team offensively with Huntley at the helm than Lamar Jackson. That might sound crazy, but I'm going to take the Ravens plus the points, and I'm going to lean to the over here.
Well, if you're taking the Ravens, you have to go the over because Green Bay is scoring points. I mean, there's any doubt that secondary of Baltimore was wrecked. Green Bay is scoring almost at will here. I'm going with the Packers for the game as well. But if you are going to go Baltimore, which I'm not going to crush. I have no problem with that. But that means they have to score points probably 24, 27 minimum. And I think probably more than that. For that reason alone, by the way, I'm going Green Bay here. It doesn't look like Lamar Jackson will play. He has not practiced this week. He's not practicing today. That's not to say he won't play. It just doesn't look like it right now. And I wouldn't bet this game early, by the way. I'm on Green Bay now. If Lamar Jackson does play, if he goes to his walkthrough tomorrow and is able to play, I'm more likely to not bet the game. But right now with Huntley, I don't think he'll have as good a game when Green Bay prepares for him because they know he's coming in. It's not Lamar Jackson. Give me the Packers. Green Bay's feeling it. Rodgers looks good. They're going to score some points. I like the Packers in this contest.
All right, here's a game I love, and we talked about Seattle potentially running the table over the last four games. They got the Rams, Detroit, Chicago, and Arizona, obviously now without DeAndre Hopkins for the regular season, right? They're playing well now, but that game could be meaningless for Arizona. I took them 24-1 to make the playoffs. They have Rashad Penny. They're pounding the rock. That gives more balance to that offense, takes the pressure off of Russell Wilson. Back-to-back wins. I know last week it was Houston, but I'm going to take the 4 points against the L.A. Rams. L.A., 9 players, including OBJ on the COVID list, minus 110 either way. Total set at 44.5. Give me Seattle outright, plus the 4, plus the 176, and under 44.5 in this ballgame, George.
All right, the Rams have a hell of a lot more players than 9 on the COVID list, brother. I think about 9 on offense. They have 9 on offense. They have 16 on defense.
Perfect.
On the COVID list here. This is we thought this Monday night, too. The Rams won the game. Good for them. I don't see them doing it twice. I just don't. The problem is Seattle has COVID problems. You know, Lockett is in COVID. Collins is in COVID. How are they moving the football? How are they moving the football here? So I'm very, very worried about this. Yeah, that'll work out well. And the Rams, I know it's their full team. Once again, they could be minus 25 guys. This game should be postponed. But they've beaten Seattle. They beat up the Seahawks. They do. Tough game for me to bet either way right now with all the COVID issues because I don't know who's playing on Sunday. I don't know if these guys or some of these guys might come back for the Rams because they get those two negatives. Or these new – and they changed the COVID protocols now where you could come back earlier. Does that affect the Rams? Does it affect the Browns? Because they were already in the protocols, or is it just players who test new from this point on? They haven't really specified that yet. It's a mess. This game's a mess. I'm staying away from it. But if you force me to, well, Seattle's healthier than the Rams, so sure, give me the Seahawks. But I have no confidence in this.
All right, all Tom Brady does is winning cover. Now they're laying 11 points to a team that he lost to earlier in the year with Trevor Siemian at the helm. That was the game Jameis Winston got injured, gave way to Siemian. They got the winning cover over the Tampa Bay Bucks. Now Taysom Hill led the team to a road win over the New York Jets, tacked on a 30-point spot on that Jet defense. They're catching 11 points on the road after that big win over Buffalo. Tampa Bay laying 11. Total set at 46.5. We talked about it last year. They ran all over the front seven of Tampa Bay. You know what? I think they do it again. They might not win, but give me the 11 points with New Orleans, and I'm going to go under the 46.5.
I still think that Tom Brady's going to use that loss as motivation. Yeah, I really do. But 11 points is a lot to give here. I'm having a tough time with this, so it's another one I'm going to wait on until close to the game time. Only because I can't really make up my mind. I can see your point here. I think Taysom Hill is going to do some damage by running the ball himself more than throwing the football. I definitely think Tampa wins the game. I'm not worried about that. But as far as the spread's concerned, it's 11 points. I want to take New Orleans. I just can't do it against Tommy right now. Maybe I'll change my mind by Sunday, but I do lean your way towards New Orleans.
You have Tommy coming over for dinner. You're going to make him a little pasta fazool and some red wine. You're on a first-name basis with Touchdown Tommy. All right.
Touchdown
how about the
Tommy.
Monday? How about the Monday night game? We got Minnesota on the road to face Chicago. I thought Chicago was primed for the cover. They were in a position. Obviously, that call on the punt changed things. Total is set at 44. Minnesota, -5.5. It's -110 across the board. Give me Chicago, because this is a game that Zimmer and the crew will just lose. And I've been on them all year. This is a typical letdown spot. Give me Chicago. Give me the over. I want to see points on Monday night.
I can't argue with that, because Zimmer and the crew does seem to find ways to lose these games. But Chicago's another team. They're nowhere near as bad as the Rams, Washington, and Cleveland, but they've got COVID problems as well. Looks like they're up to almost double digits. Actually, they may be in double digits as far as COVID problems. Minnesota, they can't. You just can't. You can't lose this game. You play Chicago twice now. You want to get back in the playoff hunt here? This is a game you got to take care of business. Allen Robinson's in COVID problems. No right tackle. Chicago's two guys on the right tackle. Both guys out, the starter and the backup here. Montgomery's questionable because he's sick, not COVID-related here. No, give me the Vikings. But once again, no faith here. But this will be one of my favorite bets. Give me the Vikings.
All right, we'll see. The one of your favorite bets. Ooh, I like that. We saw Dalvin Cook come off the injured list, right? Rush for 200 on Pittsburgh. It was a tale of two halves for the Minnesota Vikings. If you're Matt Nagy and the Chicago Bears, just run, hurry up the whole game. What do you have to lose? You're not going to have your job next year. At least make it exciting, right?
Well, he did us a favor by starting Fields. I was like, that's what I was thrilled to be. Finally did that. I was afraid he was going to start Dalton and Foles again to try and think he could possibly save his job. But no, I agree with you. Do things different. You have nothing to lose. You want to play hurry up the whole game? Do it. Try and keep Minnesota defense on their heels. And the way to beat Minnesota is to attack that secondary.
If they win this game for Minnesota, are they a legit contender? Do you buy in that maybe this team could get hot down the stretch and steal a playoff game here or there, or at least get in?
Yeah, I buy it. They're a better team than their record is, man. That's why they've lost all those close games. But a lot of it on Zimmer, a lot of it on the kicking game. Yes, I think they are a threat.
When we come back, it'll be best bet time. Joe Lisi and George Kurtz right here on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Pro Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and George Kurtz.
All right, wrapping up today's show. We always do it with best bets. I was 2-3, I believe, last week, but felt good about the Dallas Cowboys. I'm jumping on the Washington football team. You want to give me 12.5 points? I don't care who starts, divisional game. Not sold on Philadelphia. I don't care if Hurts is 100%. Give me Washington. Might not win, but they cover the 12.5 point number over the Eagles. I think Seattle wins the ball game outright. Also like Seattle to potentially make a playoff run, so give me Russell Wilson and the crew plus the 4 points. I love the over in Atlanta, San Francisco, 46. I think Atlanta will score. San Francisco will as well. Think that game sails through the total. Broadway Joe Burrow, all he does is cash tickets. Give me Cincinnati plus the 2.5 points on the road in Denver, and New Orleans plus the 11 against Touchdown Tommy and the Buccaneers. They might not win, but they get the cover.
All right, I'm going to go pick against the COVID teams. Give me the Raiders over the Browns, minus 3.5. Just think they can't carry business. Cleveland's a mess right now. Nick Mullins, yeah, good luck to that. I'm going with Minnesota, 5.5. I said I like them over Chicago Bears. Another team that's got COVID problems, along with some injury issues there. So I'm going with them. Green Bay Packers over the probably Lamar Jackson-less Ravens here. I think Rodgers is going to pick on that secondary all day long. I just have a feast here. Truly do there. I really like the Steelers over the Titans. I know that goes against logic here. Titans are supposed to be a good team, but the Steelers need this game more. They just need this game more. Have to win here to stay in that hunt. And although I don't think they're a great team, Ravens lose, Browns lose, Bengals are more of a 50-50. They could actually be in first place. It wouldn't shock me at all here. And for my final game, I'm trying to pick one of these over-unders I like here. I'm going to go, give me the Jets in Miami over 41. I'm going to take that. But I like the Houston-Jacksonville over as well, 39.5. And I also like the Raiders and Cleveland going over 38.
You need a calculator. You got so much action, Georgie boy. Unbelievable.
Yeah, too much.
For gentleman George Kurtz and our great producer, Andrew Torres, I'm Joe Lisi. Have a great weekend, everyone. We'll see you next week.